Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, better song?
the hip-hop version.
Oh, man.
Couldn't we get Chris Bay to do one?
We can. We got to talk to Bay. Yeah. We can. I would love that, man.
Yeah, we get Chris Bay, we get Swerve Strickland, you know, we get all the alumni. It kind of be like, you know, the Pile Driver album from WWF back in the day. We need to put together the streaming of the FSW's greatest hits.
If we can get everyone in one room, like We Are the World.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of getting everyone together in one room, it was the moment of truth this past Saturday. Some interesting things going on. Most notably, Ricky Tenacious thanking the world for his 32nd title reign.
History. He almost made history. But, you know, as witnessed, we all saw the foot was on the rope. So, you know. Thank goodness the original referee came too.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, the whole future Stars of Wrestling course of history would have been changed.
It would have.
Now, shaking. Well, with that showing, technically, does that set him up for a spot potentially in a gauntlet match if that's what you're doing for survival of the fittest?
Yeah, we have come to the conclusion that there is going to be a gauntlet match. Andrew Delgado will be in it. Braxton will be in it. Dante King will be in it. And we're finalizing because I guess CAC's got their thing going on. And, you know, right. Sin ran to Ricky about using the ring. So we're not sure if Ricky's really even available that day. So... Right. It's kind of like, okay, you know, I guess that takes precedence. But, yeah, Ricky would have kind of fit in there. So it's kind of disappointing that everything got set up and now we got the perfect fourth guy. And that would be Ricky's biggest opportunity, you know.
Right. You know, so that's, I mean, that's a great question because Ricky's kind of in a very unique position, right? Not many guys have a company in which they have a ring and are able to, you know, rent it out like that. And then also are a featured player in another company in town to where, you know, does, I mean, how does that work in someone's mind in terms of, you know, could he possibly find someone to make sure that all that's good with Sin and then, you know, not potentially blow this opportunity and take advantage of it? Because I would think that would be eating up, you know, inside of me going, man, I love to wrestle. I love this opportunity. I love wrestling at Silverton. But then I have this, you know, going on too, which is another passion of mine. That's going to be tough.
Well, here's the number one issue. So I had to call Sin because immediately he's posting for his ring crew for the event. And it's like, okay, well, you're representing FSW, Sin, and this is an FSW show that we got going on. Our students need to be where we need them first. Right. And if there's overlapping, it's like, you know, if you want to move your, I'm like, it would be smart for you because we're going to set up the ring about 9:30-ish. So we'll be done about 11:30-ish. You know, I'm like, you trying to get ring crew at 2 p.m. Well, first off, Our call time's 2:30. Our guys are expected to be there. I don't care that you now have something. This has been in the works for 2 months. Our show has been set. Now, they may have had the date, and that's great, but these are FSW students, and their number one priority is making sure FSW is taken care of. So it's like, it would be wise of you to do your ring crew probably about 12:30, because not that you need 40 guys, but we have to set up the ring. We have to set up the chairs. We got working on getting the video wall in for this show. We got a lot of work to do to make this a big, big show. You guys are doing a spotlight thing for CAC. That's wonderful and all great. But at the end of the day, it's the company that they train at, and you are part of the company that they train at. So no heat, but you have to understand that we're the first priority. And again, it always comes down to like, why do we have to scramble in those situations? So, you know, he can get a handful of guys, but it's like, well, they got the bell time at 7 and they got their call time. And it's like, so our security staff won't be existent because they're going to be doing your thing, because they may have a shot because you're going to put them on a show, even though they haven't even had matches yet. You know, we're going to be doing a pre-show match, which will probably be a 4-on-4, probably the young lions, the young guns of the, future Shock, where I know, as I told him yesterday, Demir Morningstar will be in the match. Davion Jaco will be in the match. You know, Colin Muldoon will be in the match. Jaden Cole, who's been so impressive, will be in that match. So we already have, you know, if Ricky Tenacious is in the gauntlet match, I'm pretty sure Brandon G will be in the pre-show match.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he's been tremendous over the last 6 months. Yeah. So, again, we're trying to make sure that people are there. And it's like, the last thing I can do is you're not going to show up for my ring crew because you're over there, and then I'm going to put you in a match. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. We're trying to really up the production. Actually, after I'm done with you, we're going over to the video wall guys and seeing what we can do. You know, we're probably at this point looking, you know, spoiler, the big screen, you know, old school big screen might be out. You know, we might build, because they have trussings. So we may build our own trussing, and now we're deciding, like, hey, where's a good spot to put the video wall? Similar to, like, when TNA would go to Sam's Town, and they would take that whole back wall and change things up. So we're going to see what's available for us to use from them, because they want to be helpful, and they want to, you know, get it out there as much as possible. And that's why we didn't do it at Moment of Truth. So, you know, we may have to get there, or maybe not me, but Rocky and crew might have to get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, because a lot of times Silverton's doing stuff Saturday night. They would probably prefer to set everything up Saturday instead of coming in at 7 in the morning, because it might take 5 or 6 hours. You know, we got to make sure wires are available to be crisscrossed, and, you know, what's going to the sound, and is it going to be separate? Now, if we're on the stage, does that take Mikey out of doing the live streaming? Is Spider available to do the live stream and do the editing? So now we got to figure, you know, it's all hands on deck on the production. You know, a lot of these guys show up an hour or two before the show, and that's it. Now we may need them to help us out. So we need a lot of hands, you know, for this show.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can already hear Rocky. Been here since 7 fucking a.m. God damn it. So, you know, anything.
I can't even pin somebody in a main event match, I'll tell you.
Anything to take the stress off Rocky, man. You know,
we need to have FSW Unreal just follow Rocky T around. How many times do I got to tell you the same shit with the fucking ring? We've been here, which is the same with me. Like, we're setting it up, and then they set up 10 chairs in the front row. Like, what fucking world are you in? We've done this 100 times.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's... Because in FSW, it would truly be unreal. Because in, you know, in WWE, you know, you got guys who've been doing this for 20, 30 years. You know, right. You got a lot of dumb kids walking in the door who have zero common sense. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's truly unreal. The things that you have to tell people that you are shocked that you have to tell them. Because I forget sometimes, because I actually think, you know, they have a brain. You know, and it's funny, speaking of that, because we're having a conversation. D'Lo was there yesterday, and Sin was there, and Rip Rogers. And D'Lo was talking about the power slap and, you know, the possibility of concussions, things like that. Right. And I chimed in with, well, you know, thankfully, a lot of these young wrestlers barely have a functioning brain. So I'm not sure how much it's going to affect them, you know, down the road.
Well, I mean, hey, man, you know, you've got a couple mariachis, and one half of the mariachis might be a little.
Well, the other half, I believe, is supposedly going to be having a match, too.
Oh, no. Both of them are in it now. Oh, Jesus.
I think they should fight each other because they probably had slap fights growing up. Oh, shit. Now you're going to tell me it ain't worth, you know, somebody's got to win. That's a 10K prize.
They can work. And it's automatic storyline too. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they could do the stunt marshal thing. They could do the first shot wins. The other one goes down, wants the rematch where he gets to go first. So somebody, right. So they can split the extra 5K and it'd be okay. Work the system.
Hopefully they're listening. And what do you get, 10% cut or 15%?
I'm just trying to get the dues. It's like, hey, bro, can I get some dues? You know, you just had two fights and you won one. But to his credit, Roe came into the office. He's like, hey, how much do we owe? I know we're a couple, you know, we're a little behind.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah about time, motherfucker.
Well, you know, that trip to Dodger Stadium and all the Santino Brothers monies that they're getting, you know.
Yeah, I think they had to pay Joey Chaos to get on the show.
Yeah.
He said, we got some money coming from Power Slap. Hang on a bit.
So at Moment of Truth, is there anything that stood out to you? You know, Brittany had a great showing with, you know, someone who was a last minute ad essentially and is newer to FSW fans.
Yeah, we've used her a couple times in Future Shock, Taylor York. She's another one out of the PCW Arizona crew. And unfortunately, we tried to get her a week before, and thankfully, a show got canceled. And she's like, hey, my show got canceled. It was kind of like in Future Shock the day of, because of whatever Tornado Warrings Gypsies match got canceled. Right. So she ended up was able to be used. So we were looking for somebody for Brittany. Obviously, she hadn't been on the show for a bit. And Taylor York came in a last minute replacement. So, you know, like to have those women's match. You know, Maz was supposed to be on the show. She got called to AEW. She had a match. So she had a match there. And, you know, Gypsy was on commentary. And, you know, so basically out of the Moment of the Truth, everything you saw pretty much is leading to something. Yeah. Or at least the main matches are leading to something. You know, the four-way was excellent.
Yeah.
You know, as we talked about, you know, even though he's the tag team champion, Damian Desire, he can go both ways in more ways than one. And, you know, he did a tremendous job in the singles match. In the scramble match.
Yes, in the scramble match. I mean, that was just solid. Again, man, you talk about everyone upping their game. We're starting to see you know, like, again, you got what's going on with Bateman and the story going on there with Jay Vidal. You know, I guess really quick, getting back, because we really haven't talked about the women's title. What are we looking at for survival of the fittest in terms of, are we looking at, you know, what kind of stipulation, what kind of
survival? There won't be a women's singles, women's championship match. It's going to be a Survivor Series type match because, as we talked about, Trisha Dora is available. We got her booked. Layla Gray is available. Got her booked. Brittany's available. Obviously, Zamaya and Maserati, but we haven't announced it yet, but we'll announce it now. We're going to be doing After the Effects, the MK Army in full effect. So Transcendence will not be in a tag team match at all either. They are going to be part of the MK Army with Koa, with Zamaya, and with Duke Lawrence. It'll be a 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. And as of right now, we have San Lu, the former Hero Lu. We have Remy Marcel and Bodhi, who came out. Obviously, they've had their issues with the MK Army. And Maserati, even though she wasn't there, she's going to be there. So we have 5 for the MK Army, and we got 4 for Hero Lu. And we're going to have a mystery partner that will not be announced until he is announced at the show. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to be a big one. So if you don't come to the show for anything else, coming to the show for the mystery partner for San Lu in the 5-on-5 will be well worth the price of admission. I guarantee it.
Love it. Love it. That brings a lot of mystery, intrigue, and anticipation, which you can't ask for anything else. Moment of truth, you know, when you look at what you saw from, you know, just overall, and how everyone is, I guess the best way to describe it is, you know, everyone is getting, I think, a little more seasoned in terms of the storytelling. Because when you look at the setup for Sharp and Ice, what an anticipatory setup, man. If you're not excited to see those two go at it, I think you've lost your interest in watching pro wrestling. You know, these two guys are, you know, I think setting something up that's going to be very special and unique, because it's just everything all out there, you know.
I hinted last week, we were talking about the gimmick matches and what survival of the fittest means. And we'll get back to that one.
Get to that one, yeah.
But with Ice, when I had the conversation with him, and he brought it up nonchalantly, like, hey, what about no gimmicks for that match being a show full of gimmicks? And as I thought about it, it's like, you know what? But it is a gimmick. Because the gimmick is, you know what? No countouts, no time limits. It's just mano y mano.
Yeah.
And somebody mentioned it to me, which we didn't coin the phrase, but a pure wrestling match. That's what it is. Two guys are going to go out there. Gregory Sharp, G Sharp, at the top of his game. He has been for a very long, long time. As we talked about, he rode the Nevada State Championship around the same time Ice ran the FSW Heavyweight Championship. And they went on the road and never kind of bumped into each other.
Right.
And now the two of them, who at that time were carrying FSW in reality, it was 1-1A. You know, you know, you talk about it ain't one and it ain't two. It's one and 1A. I talk about bringing in Romo as the ref. He works TNA and stuff. And yeah, him and Cody. Amber's good. Never take away anything of her. But Romo and Cody are the two best referees around. And yeah, we got them both. So her as the third ref makes her better than almost every other third yeah ref. The third ref's usually a kid that you're just yeah sticking in a spot. So we have upgraded the referees. We're upgrading the production. You know, you look at the show, you know, put that flyer up again, A Moment of Truth. And it was like Bateman made no appearance on the show and in a match until the very, very, very end. Yeah. And he still had a major part in the show, which leads to what happened. Everything's been personal. Jay Vidal had the cash in the case. Bateman cost him that. Jay Vidal wants the cash in the case. And he's made references to, I want the cash in the case. And Bateman really had, so who gives a fuck what you want? But now he's messing with Bateman's livelihood. Bateman could have cashed in and possibly been the No Limits champion. So he said, you know what? Came to the office. You know what? I'll put my case on the line. But you know what? Jay Vidal wants to play games. Let's play some games. When I beat Jay Vidal, he's my servant, and he does whatever the fuck I tell him to do. He's my lackey. He's my grunt. He's my young boy.
Love it. I love this.
You know, and man, it's a good match to begin with, but I'm excited to see. So now those are two matches that are set. We got the third match, as I just said, 5-on-5, the MK Army. I'll be honest with you. We were talking about the tag team, and it was probably going to be 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. And we knew the regulators, they're coming back for this. The Mariachis, Mariachi Montana, they're going to be there. Class and Reno, they had a nice victory. They got to be there. The Suavecitos, they've been signed for that. Sky High. So we got three teams. We got two teams. Well, the question was, where's Watson going to flow into that? He could be that No Limits guy. Right. But we've confirmed that Lights, Camera, Faction, Fresco, and Watson will now be in the tag. So we got three, and we got three. Set, nothing.
Beautiful.
Oh, wait, Young Money. Man, I like what I saw from them.
Yeah.
Now they've got the matching gear.
Yeah.
I had to yell at Jaden Monroe because he gave me the karaoke version of their rap song that didn't meet proper standards. I'm like, so, do you sing this at karaoke with RJ? You know what I mean? Because he'd be canceled the minute he said the first word. Because I didn't, like, are there any non-curse words in this song? Right. Oh, sorry, I sent you the wrong one. Okay. But now I got Young Money, because one idea was also possibly a Greatness and Tenacious if we did the 14th. Right. But then we got to go to the babyface side. So we got four, we got three. Poe Boys had a good showing against Class and Reno.
Yeah.
They could easily be inserted as the 14th. The Royal Daddies, young right team, that would be their debut at the Silver. Yeah. So now the idea becomes, got to figure it out. So right now, it's going to be on 4-on-4, and we know the four teams on one side, and now I got to make a decision on where we're going to go for the final team to join the regulators, Fresco and Watson, and Mariachi Montana. So we got that match. Now, the women's match is kind of in limbo. Layla Gray's got it okayed. I talked to Trisha Dora. She's got to get the dates. And it's, again, going through AEW, you got to file paperwork.
Right.
And I had already told her about the 31st. So the 17th, I didn't see her. So I just sprung that on her. So now she's got to contact them. Because I also know the 30th, she's doing a taping in Philly. So she's got to make sure they're able to get the flight back in time for the 31st for the women's show.
Right.
So, you know, we're trying to get that because that's right after. It's 2 weeks later. So we're 4 weeks away from that show, 4.5 weeks. Right. So we're trying to finalize the FSW women's wrestling show. So, you know, but I do know one thing with the women's thing, we're leaning toward a team FSW, which now puts Brittany Brooks and Gypsy Mac on the same side.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever beef they have, they're going to kind of have to squash it.
Yeah.
For this event, because we're looking at Layla Gray. We're looking at the return of the Black Swan, who has been training, you know, thinks she should be healed. She's really been very picky on matches. She's really limited herself, and we have her confirmed for the 31st. So we're seeing where we're going. On that, you got a youngster like Dana Lynn who could fit in there. There's also the Fallon Grays, the Taylor Yorks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because of the feud with the MK Army and everything else going on, Maz and Zamaya were an easy fit, obviously, in the women's thing. But they're involved in something totally different. And so that eliminates two of our top women. You know, for the women's match. Yeah. But having Layla Gray and having Trisha Dora, hopefully, man, this is going to be some solid stuff because they're all also booked for the 31st. So what comes out of the 17th, who pins who, what happens in that match, that can lead to some interesting matchups. If Layla Gray, say, pins Gypsy Mac, for example, well, Brittany Brooks already had her shot and lost. Well, maybe the main event of the 31st is the AEW superstar Layla Gray against the Gypsy Mac. Or maybe Black Swan costs one of the AEW women a match at the 17th and gets eliminates somebody. And now maybe her one-on-one match is against a Layla Gray or a Trisha Dora. You know, who knows? So, you know, it's definitely, you know, nothing set in stone. But now that is the fifth match.
Right.
Well, really the sixth, because we talked about the No Limits Gauntlet match and then the pre-show. And I'll be honest with you, that might be it.
Yeah, it's a lot. That is a lot.
You know, because six matches don't seem like a lot, but Sharp and Ice can go 45 minutes for all we know. A 5-on-5 elimination match is not going 6 minutes.
Right.
No matter what you do, that match is impossible to not go at least 15 minutes.
Right.
4-on-4 tag. That's going to have to go 15, 20 minutes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A gauntlet match. You got top people in there. There are usually not going to be 30-second pinfalls.
Right.
So now the question becomes, oh, shit. Where's Luke Curtis? I don't know. Here's a guy, another impressive win in a triple threat match with Evan Daniels. Is Evan Daniels on the card?
Right.
You know? Sure, and Adrian Rain, he's got a good shot of being at the pre-show. The pre-show we're trying to focus on, but I can't put a bunch of Future Shock guys on the show, but not have Luke Curtis on the show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, what about Kenny King? You know, him and Luke Curtis, you know, that'd be a perfect spot to put a match of that magnitude on there. I just don't know we have the time for that.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
And if it's a Kenny match, that has to go on at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon because he's in bed by six. So,
you know. No, because he'll be at the pool.
That's right.
So we really got to figure it out for him to get there in time, and then hope he doesn't drive to Jerry's Nugget. Because you know we're at the Silver 10. Maybe he goes to the Silver 7s.
You know. when we had our live show at Boulder Station, Kenny drove to Samstown for the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Instead of Boulder Station. So when you say that, yeah, it's a proven track record that Kenny does get his casinos mixed up.
Yeah. So, now it's like trying to mix and match, you know. Yeah, Luke Curtis, maybe he's the guy. He doesn't particularly strike me as a no limits guy. But like, right. If Evan Daniels would have won that match, I think I probably would have put Evan Daniels in the no limits, you know, match.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bodhi, if he wasn't involved in the 5-on-5, him winning that 4-way of no limits guys would have catapulted him into that match. So now it's made an opportunity for somebody. The question is who?
Right.
You know, gets that opportunity. So, you know, Ricky's probably the front runner. We're going to have the conversation with him.
Yeah.
And see where we go. But that kind of makes the most sense. You know, JKM makes sense, you know, but he did take the pin. So you don't reward a guy for a pin, you know, and then I also would have to make sure he's going to be there for breakdown and setup, you know. So I can't announce him for the match. He doesn't show up, and then I got to pull him from the match again. So,
well, and he could easily, he could easily end up at Cauliflower Alley breaking that one down instead.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, you Dante know. And Gypsy's his ride, so that wouldn't happen.
Did you ever think in all these years doing it that you'd have to start going, okay, so match placement. I got to think of, if I put this guy here and this guy here, they're each other's ride. So is he going to stay until the end to help break down if I put Dante on this early?
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's the same thing. It's kind of like, hey, working on future dates, and it's like, you know, Brittany's like, oh, I'm not good for those dates. And it's like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, I said, that's why we're supposed to be your priority. I don't ask much from you. We run 2 or 3 shows. All I ask is you be available for 1 show for me. Okay? Right. And not that, you know, and now I got to look into the 12th, and I got to look into the 26th, and we're looking at bringing Jacob Austin Young back, and, you know, and the mariachis, hey, we can do this one. And then it's like, okay, I just found out yesterday, for example, PCW Arizona is running September 13th. Well, it would probably be unwise for me to run the 13th because now I couldn't use Young Money. I couldn't use Class in Reno. I couldn't use Koa. I couldn't use Zamaya. So maybe the 12th is the better date for that one.
Right.
Because now I also couldn't use the mariachis because they're booked at PCW. And who else from FSW that I don't know of yet because I didn't ask? So it's like, okay.
Yeah, you would have sent like maybe Remy because Remy's
possibly usually, right. Yeah. You know, and now all of a sudden what's broken down. And again, as you know, because we have so much talent that having 6 people not make 1 show gives other people spots and room and all the other things. And that's all, you know, fine and dandy. But I want it to kind of be on my terms, not that, oh, shit, I have to do this. Oh, you know, because it's most important that whoever the heavyweight champion is, he's available one of the dates I'm going to book. So if he's only available the 13th and the 27th, well, it's hard to make the show the 12th and the 26th, not to have the FSW champion, but I have Young Money instead. Who gives a fuck?
Well, I think Young Money might take a little offense.
You know, they might, but, you know, but if I don't have them on that show, I could probably use them the 27th, is my point. Because they'll make it, if their priority is PCW, that's it. Now, unless it's they're going to some big company, they'll usually figure out a way to get to us.
Yeah.
It's only our own guys that have a problem getting to us.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
When you when you look at, you know, kind of what you're saying about sharpening ice and how the paths haven't, you know, weren't able to cross because we were on two total different trajectories at the times they were both champions. And then you look at the fact that ICE got the WWID. Does this kind of put a chip on Greg's shoulder? Because, you know, in any, I think any world, Gregory Sharp, you know, realistically should be a guy on the radar for being a kind of a WWE ID type guy, man. And this potentially could put a video in front of some eyes over there. And, you know, he's the champion. Does this step it up for Greg to be like, you know what, I'm going to show that I'm not playing around here, that I am, you know, 100%. This title belongs on me. It wasn't just that I quickly cashed in a case.
I'll be honest with you. Normally I would say yes, but knowing Sharp, I will say no. I think he takes everything seriously. I think it doesn't matter if it's a match against Jaden Cole to get a match. I don't think it matters if it's a Future Shock match against one of the Colin Muldoons. I think Greg takes his craft very seriously. And I'll be 100% honest with you. Now, I'm not like, hey, we're going to work this, blah, blah, blah. No. I really think Greg being the heavyweight champion and being put over in that situation, I think that has kind of tweaked him maybe a little bit in terms of, you know what, he did have that chip on his shoulder, you know, because I knew deep down, because I talked about the issues we had at the time, and right. He would see what he perceived as the flavors of the month, that they would come in, they'd get a belt, and he'd put in the time, he'd put in the effort, and I would be like on the opposite side of, hey, bro, you know, you just went on a 3-month journey over the United States. You went to Korea. You went to this. You went to that. So me looking at it, the stability of him being at our shows frequently, he didn't look at, and he looked at his, hey, I've been a guy here for X amount of years. Trainer don't show. I'm stepping up. I'm always stepping up. What about me? What about G-Sharp type of thing? And right. I think over the last year and a half, because you saw the respect that he showed for Ice Williams. You know, He was probably very early on, he probably wrestled Ice Williams. I couldn't tell you if they did or they didn't, but it's hard to believe that back in the early days of Ice, maybe we didn't have that match. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'd have to look back into the archives. But I think with Sharp, the promo put it over. Because I think deep down, I don't think he needs to prove to anybody else other, as like he said, I think he needs to prove it to Ice because Ice had that journey and won the championship. But I think Sharp vehemently believes he's the better man and he will go out there and do his thing, you know, regardless. You know, he's a guy who's not going to be affected by the lights. You know, If you said, hey, there's going to be Triple H in the house watching that match specifically, I don't think he would be as nervous as most people would be.
Right.
And again, I could be 100% wrong, you know, but I think Sharp is a true professional. I think the only thing holding him back is the fact he's a 13-year vet, which puts him in his early 30s, which the ID program, they're looking for those 20-something young, the younger side of the 20s, let alone the older side of the 20s. You know, You get to be 28, 29, your shelf life there, which is crazy because all the guys who've been signed, the Jeff Cobbs, the Jacob Fatus, but those guys were seasoned, and they didn't have to go through that process. So if they decided they wanted a G-sharp, it wouldn't be through the ID program. It would be like, yeah, we're going to sign this guy, my opinion, of the way they're doing things. So, but I think it's a big match for everybody, because I saw one person, Sharp's great, but, you know, he's 170 pounds, and it's like, the fuck really? Does that mean anymore?
Really?
Yeah, that's I saw crazy. That on Facebook. A member of Furman's crew, he doesn't come to very many shows, but it was kind of like, you do know Shawn Michaels really wasn't 200 pounds, right? And, you know, nobody really had an issue with Shawn, you know, as the champ. And the best wrestler is the best wrestler. It's like, nobody's going to be like, oh, C4, 6'3", 280 pounds, he should be the champ. No, he's nowhere near ready.
Wow.
So, but again, and that's what makes wrestling great. That's what makes wrestling great, because there's a lot of people who don't care for certain. Like, oh, Batista, oh, he's just a big goon, blah, blah, blah. And then you got those people who are like, oh, he was just a Vince guy. Well, Batista was just as deserving as being the heavyweight champion, as was Brett, as was Shawn. Right. You know, generally, yeah, maybe not so much on the Great Khali. Maybe
Jinder Mahal.
You know, there was something. India tour, you know. Because, you know, or people crying about how certain people haven't gotten championships. And it's like, motherfuckers, Kurt Hennig, Ted DiBiase, they were never the world champion. Rick Rude, like, love Rick Rude. But Ted DiBiase and Kurt Hennig, if they haven't been heavyweight champions, the fact that, you know, Damian Priest wouldn't have been that big a deal. And he already was. You know, Finn Balor was a heavyweight champ.
Right.
Kevin Owens was a heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
You know, to me, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, they aren't heavyweight champions. And it isn't because they're not heavyweights.
Right.
It's because they, to me, aren't larger than life characters. Just like I don't. And as larger than life Great Khali is, he should not have been the heavyweight champion.
Right.
You know, Brett at his time was the best there is, was and ever will be. Bret Hart was fantastic. Macho Man, one of the greatest of all time. But in WWF, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was not that larger than life character. Now, in NWA, he had the following. He had the thing. Him being a champion, fantastic.
Well, and I think the biggest name who never held that championship was Piper. You know?
You know, Piper was close. He was like, he made himself larger than life.
Yeah.
Like, even through WrestleMania 1 and stuff, I never saw Roddy Piper as the heavyweight champion. He was the antagonist. He was the guy. But I thought the Million Dollar Man should have been a heavyweight champ. I thought Kurt Hennig had every asset that you could have in professional wrestling and be the heavyweight champion. I thought Rick Rude could be the heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
But there were guys, just like when Ric Flair finally put somebody over, Ronnie Garvin was the last guy I thought. And it was only for a couple weeks. And he lost it back in the steel cage, I remember. But I remember it was like, I'm watching the TBS show, and it was like, oh, my God, big news in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ronnie Garvin is the new heavyweight champion, because back then they would do it on house shows.
Yeah.
And it was like, Ronnie Garvin? Get the I would have loved Jimmy Garvin as the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Gorgeous Jimmy was the man. But Ronnie Garvin, Hands of Stone, that was like nothing more than just a mid-card thing. But it was the way to put the belt back on Flair. Hey, he won the title again, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was a little younger and, you know, probably my late teens when that happened and didn't understand at the time. You know, yeah. Similar now with by putting it on JU. So great feel good moment. The Kofi Kingston, great feel good moments. You know, but I looked at Kofi at that time was larger than life. Like to me, Kofi deserved it more than Jey Uso.
Well, that brings up a great point. And that comes down to when you look at Jey Uso, not necessarily larger than life for those of us who are over the age of 10. But merchandising-wise and kid-wise, very over. So...
Yeah, and it's also the opinion of a 50-something person that's not their demographic.
Well, Joe, let's be honest, 60.
Well, I wasn't 60 when the thing came out, so I was
okay. 50. All right, I'll give you that.
But, you know, but it's the same thing when you say, well, L.A. Knight, he is a big merchandise seller, and he's over as over can be. But as much as I love Sean Ricker... You got a lot of work to do to make him the heavyweight champion, in my opinion, because CM Punk is more deserving than Jey Uso and LA Knight and Damian Priest and all these guys. And I think maybe that's the long game now to like, you know what? You want to talk about Teflon. This guy cannot be touched. No matter what CM Punk does, no matter who he wrestles, the biggest baby face in the company, he's still the biggest baby face in the company.
Yeah.
No matter how much shit Drew wants to talk about him or Seth, who they love, and he's a piece of shit, it doesn't matter because we all know, because we watch Unreal now and we know it's all a work. Right. And genuinely, but it's good that they have feelings like, this motherfucker, after all the shit he did, walks back into the company and he gets fucking carte blanche. But that's the way it is. Logan Paul walks into the company because he's got a billion fucking followers. Thankfully, he's good, because if he wasn't good, he still might be in a similar position, but probably not as much.
Right.
Bad Bunny came in. Great attitude, loved the sport, did really well. Jelly Roll's another one, huge fan. They're working with him. And these guys have to sell for him.
Did you see? So, speaking of selling, when they did, when Jelly Roll hosted Kimmel last week, and they did the spot where Logan came in and Jelly Roll choke slams him through the desk. The most amazing thing is that Logan showed that he went from just being a celebrity to being a worker, because that motherfucker got so much air. He gave Jelly Roll. It was just incredible to watch. He gave Jelly Roll so much air. And this guy's going through what is essentially almost a cardboard table, right? This thing just disintegrates, and he's hitting that floor at probably 20 miles per hour. It just goes to show that now here's a celebrity who is now understanding so much that he's giving the celebrity the rub over, and he's, you know, people just can't get over the fact that they just don't like the guy, which is, you know, regular everyday heat. But as a worker, he's fucking, you know, like, guys should be watching him going, well, okay, now if I did shit like that, now my game's going up.
And who's funnier than Logan Paul when he says, you know, I hate when these celebrities come in try to take our spot.
That's fucking brilliant.
You know what I mean? And I guess he did the podcast with Drew, and Drew said, just be aware, there's going to be that tipping point where all of a sudden people are going to side with you.
Yep.
Because he's that guy that a lot of people, I don't like him, but yeah, he's good.
Yep.
And after a while, when he's still there in a year and he's still there in 2 years, it's like The Miz.
Yeah.
Nobody hated The Miz more than me. okay? It was like, okay, he's hosting SmackDown, this fucking jack-off from fucking MTV. What a fucking loser, okay? That's my perception. Now he's wrestling. It's like, what a fucking loser. Then they put him with Miz, with Morrison. I'm like, oh, way to kill fucking Morrison. Jeez, poor guy. Then they break them up, and Morrison turns babyface because on the way out, Miz fucking beat him up. And I'm like, wow, so John did absolutely nothing. Now we're supposed to like him because he let some MTV idiot beat the fuck out. Then all of a sudden, because he kept putting in the work, and Miz took a long time to be good. Logan Paul, the first time we saw that motherfucker, he was good. Okay? But Miz earned the respect of everybody and becomes a locker room leader, who would think? I remember that fucking promo with JBL burying him and making him fucking stay outside and shit. I remember that more than a fucking match. Those things you remember. And I remember that, boom, when they fucking, and that was when Miz all of a sudden got fucking hot and they put him in with Cena and they killed him. The end of Miz. And guess what? That motherfucker bounced back and then he got the win at WrestleMania. Never say die. And now you had no choice but to respect the fucking guy. Yeah. And Miz is now the epitome of that guy. 20 years later, it's like, holy shit, Miz has been doing it for 20 years. But everybody forgets that the first 5 years, he was one of the most hated motherfuckers in the world. But then after he became a babyface, he was still able to go back to becoming a heel again and then back to being a babyface again. To now, it's kind of like, what's Miz now, a heel or a face? Who the fuck knows? Because it was like the Big Show where they turned him 7,000 times.
Right. And right now it's literally, he's a utility. It's whatever they need, you know, when they needed him this past week in Cleveland, you know, he was utilized because
he got his start because he knew how to talk on a microphone.
Yep.
Logan Paul had that social media following. Who can talk on a microphone, who, holy shit, he became athletic as fuck. You know, when Jake Paul decides he doesn't want to get hit in the face anymore, real, and if he does, it's by accident, you think that the fucking Jake and Logan Paul won't be tag team champions? First motherfucking thing I'd do is put those belts on those motherfuckers.
I don't know. Maybe they'll have Jake Paul tag with Andrade.
Why would they do that?
Because that's what they did with Phoenix instead of putting him with his brother.
That's where you were going, but I wanted to make sure. Well, hey, the best thing to happen to Andrade is fucking Phoenix. Nope. Because that motherfucker came back from AEW and nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's.
Pentagon's doing so good, he's only lost like his last six matches in a row.
But, you know, and that's the craziest thing is that the coolness factor of the character equals the marketability of merchandising equals we can keep your face in the position and look
and
at
he'll
what
go to AAA in Mexico and he'll be a fucking hero and they'll have him win the title there.
You know, you look at, speaking of SummerSlam, this is probably Cross's biggest moment, getting this match with Sammy.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago, if he wins on Raw, it's pretty much a done deal that he signs. Now it's kind of like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? It's like, now that match is meaningless in terms of what this match is. It's like, but you know what? It's WWE. He could go in there and lose, and he's still signed to a multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract, and when they decide that they want to push him, they just flip the switch, and they have him win matches, and people will get behind it, you know, because they put themselves in a tough situation to where now it's Sammy's goal and dream to be the heavyweight champion. Well, I personally think they should have made, but I guess Logan Paul's here, so in my world, I would have had Cross after all those statements be the guy, and I personally would have did the swerve, and I would have had Logan Paul win the title because Cross helped him win.
Sure.
Yeah. Because after all that was said and done, my philosophy would be, you know what? They're right. This motherfucker gets everything. That's who I want to be with. I want to be with the guy that gets everything, who didn't have to put in the work.
Right. Yeah.
Because I've watched myself and 100 others put in all the work and not get, because he jumped the line. Well, if he jumps the line and I align with him, that means I jump over the other motherfuckers.
Sure.
And that would be the storyline,
yeah,
which would keep him as the heel that he was.
Which is so interesting. Kevin,
if you're listening, pitch that to them. Bring me in. We can do some things.
You know, it's interesting to think, too, that if by chance they put the belt on Punk at some point here, whether it be SummerSlam or, you know, basically, you know, allowing Punk to be champion, possibly going into WrestleMania next year, I think that you have, there's your money right there, is Punk versus Logan Paul for that belt where Logan...
Well, let me tell you something. First off, that's the reason why I hate two champions. There's not two fucking world champions. Your company's a world champion. So if Cody wins,
right,
who gives a shit about Gunther's belt? Because Gunther's belt really is the secondary belt in the company.
Right.
So CM Punk just won the secondary belt. Are they really going to make the two world champions exchange titles on the same show? Maybe. But if they do, it takes it away. It's kind of like, yeah, when I'm booking shit and we'll do title changes, but there's certain times you don't want to do one because you don't want it to overshadow.
Because
if you do something early, they win the title. Yay. It's now forgotten about because, oh shit, what a shocker. And now this is what everybody's going to talk about. Maybe we let that title change at a different show. Right. That way it gets a chance to be its own entity and its own chance to breathe.
Right.
To breathe. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's why, as Remy said, this is the FSW Unreal. You want to know the truth? Listen to the fucking podcast. And it's telling you things that we're looking to do. And it was 100% part of the reason why we moved some things around at the anniversary show. Because the, yeah, anniversary show is tradition. And we did do title changes. So everybody's expecting, you know, a title change in the women's match. Oh, shit, that didn't happen. You know, yeah, Bodie winning, you know, that was a crapshoot. A lot of people are like, oh, Duke's a monster. You know, Duke wins. Heavyweight title, cash in the case. People who pay attention knew that was going to happen.
Right.
A lot of people probably didn't expect Danny Limelight to lose, for Ice to win, to immediately lose it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I would think that if the scenario was Limelight wins, loses to Sharp, would be at least 50%. Then it would be Ice wins, loses to Sharp, might be 10%. Ice wins, Ice beats Sharp, might be higher, I think, at that point.
Right.
Because he's the ID guy. He overcame. He's kind of been at a pedestal in FSW. You know, but that would have been nice to see that conversation. Because I'll tell you what, we were undecided of where we were going to go 2 hours before the show. We were in discussions. Ideas, yeah, were brought to us. And it's funny they say that, because now I look at the Unreal thing and I didn't see it. But then all of a sudden I saw that there was different scenarios brought to it. The Rock recommended Owens winning the belt at the Elimination Chamber, and things that could have happened, or Punk going up at Mania, and different things. And it's like, I believe it because I go online and you can go to Bet Online and you see the odds.
Right.
And you know, the odds were totally in the favor of a lot of people who lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, you know, going in, you know, I can't remember exactly what the matches were and stuff, but trying to think who won the matches that got the main matches at the last event.
At Mania?
I don't know if it was Mania, but I just think recently, I think it could have been like the Saturday night main event. Obviously they had what's his face. They had Gunther winning.
Right.
But there was a couple of those matches that the favorites ended up losing that you could have made money. Like TNA, I thought Santana was going to win the belt off Trick on the thing. I actually bet him and because he was a pick 'em, but Masha was the favorite and lost.
Right.
There was another match, maybe the tag titles. Yeah, the tag titles. Because
The Hardys took the tag titles because
right, they were plus $2, so you could have bet the minimum, the maximum, which is like $25 or whatever. But you could have bet $25 to win $50 plus your money on the Hardys. Well, in the real world, you'd think, hey, why wouldn't the Hardys have a shot? But they had gotten the belts, but we didn't realize what their setup was going to be. Right. And now working with WWE, all of a sudden, you could have made money by betting Trick Williams to retain the NXT title.
Right.
Because he was the underdog in the triple threat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And normally, you can go online and they're like 8 out of 8. Like, you can't make any money.
Right.
You know, you can make money and you can pick the winner, but the winner's like, you know, you have to bet $90 to win 10.
Right.
And the maximum you can win is like maybe $50 on, you know, WWE or whatever. But are you risking on that? Like Seth Rollins and LA Knight. Seth Rollins was a huge favorite.
Sure.
But I thought there was no way fucking LA Knight could win. I could have probably bet the $25-$50 and probably made $250 betting. Yeah. You know, only one time I got good inside information and I got a 10-1 on Tommy Dreamer winning the digital championship. And I passed the info. I was only able to bet $25. I got my kid in the account. I got the wife in the account. I hit up MK and they all made $250 in New York City. And Tommy Dreamer at plus 10-1.
Yeah. Well, see, now you can never complain that Tommy Dreamer hasn't worked an FSW show for you.
There you go.
Because he made you money.
Yeah, he made me my money back.
Yeah.
But when I had to pay him against Cross.
Right.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, what they do now is so different. Because now there's, again, I don't know how much now does Rock still have that influence. Who knows? You know what I mean? And it's like, wow, it's kind of weird to me that him and Brian Gerwitz come in and then they could dictate finishes. Like, there's got to be a little heat, which you always read about with him and The Rock and with Triple H and stuff.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, you know, when you look at the fact that The Rock is positioned above the company, you know, this is the stuff that's going to happen.
He was gifted. Right. Here you go. Here's a whole bunch of stocks. We just want you to be around, but you're not even really around. So, like, the final boss thing to me. In most worlds of wrestling, when you saw what happened there, you'd be like, what the fuck? They really dropped the ball on this.
But, first off, I've always thought that the come around is that, you know, Cody ends up selling his soul you know, here in this rematch to make him that.
Yeah, you know. But do we care at this point? Has it been so long?
The only thing I have that to me would make it worth it is the promo of how if he turns on his dad's legacy, meaning that dad was for the common people, but I realized that my dad was a loser for a reason. And it's because
I'm now 60, so I don't buy it. Now, the 15-year-olds might buy it. But again, maybe that's the reason why Cody Rhodes doesn't really do a lot for me. Because I watch Cody get opportunity after opportunity, like Ted DiBiase Jr. And no matter what, they struggled, or you could say failed. Yeah. Because they were given numerous opportunities, different characters, different things. And Cody can shit all over Stardust, but that was like the most over he was in WWE. The narcissist gimmick was a ripoff of Lex Luger. I'll be the first to say they didn't do him any favors when Randy Orton and John Cena would go head to head, but John Cena would be able to beat Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes in a handicap match.
Right.
Doesn't do much favors for the tag team champions as you're trying to build their legacy.
Right.
They were losers, as you talk about the word losers. That's the perception of what Cody was. And it took Cody a long time to shed that skin. And in Ring of Honor, he finally, and that was after a while.
Yep.
And Kenny will tell you, he thought Cody was gone. And then ended up hooking up with the Young Bucks. And then got to Japan, and then the nightmare thing did. And man, he was the American Dream. He was the nightmare. Fucking brilliant. No different than Matt Cardona plodding around till he became the GCW fucking devil.
Yeah.
And that turned him around till we forget that Matt Cardona in TNA, when I went to Sam's Town, was just some mid-card guy in a tag team with fucking Brian Myers that never really did much.
And to think you could have got them at that point for about $300.
Maybe. Add a zero now if you want to.
Yeah, no shit.
But the thing is, he's worth it.
Yeah.
But he capitalized on that and found the niche. And it's always finding the niche that gets you into the thing. You know, I've gotten when guys got released and the Eliases and the Mustafa Ali's and some of these guys price themselves out. Look at the women who are quitting and retiring because they're not getting bookings because they're charging way too much money because they thought, hey, I was in WWE. I was in NXT and barely made the main roster and I want thousands of dollars. It's like you don't have a reach. For a fan base, you know, sure, there's going to be some companies in the Northeast and people who do Comic Cons and stuff that are going to pay your rate, but that's not the norm.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I look at what Matt Hardy did, and that's why you would look and see, wow, Matt Hardy's booked 14 times this month because he worked for a price that it was like, holy shit, this is a great fucking deal. And then you'd go talk to somebody else who didn't have one-tenth of his career, didn't have the notoriety, and they're trying to charge double or sometimes even triple what Hardy was charging back in the day. Yeah. And I get it. He was having his rough time and things like that. And, of course, later on he would charge more. But the bottom line was, at that time, Matt Hardy was still a 15-year television superstar.
Right
now he's fucking 30, so of course he's going to be more, and he's active. You know, I'd rather pay fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan than 90% of the people that come and get released from WWE. Because the pricing, people know Hacksaw Jim Duggan. When Cody Rhodes, he talks about how these guys come out And I know exactly who he's talking about because I know that these guys were, I'm like, holy shit, fucking $6,000. Like, you're not going to bring a $6,000 gate, let alone $6,000 on top of what my normal gate would be.
Right.
And that's the number that needs to work.
Right.
So on a $6,000 person and getting the venue and the other people, now you're talking $15,000 for your gate.
For the return, yeah. Yep.
So now you need 500 people at $30 a pop just to get your money back.
Yeah.
You eliminate that guy and you're at 8,000. Now you only need 300 people to make a small profit.
Yep.
Is that guy going to bring you the 7,000 that you need to make your money back and then another 2,500? So you need $10,000, which at $30 a ticket, which is high because general admission is usually going to be about 20. And right. That's the majority of the seats. Because if you're a good enough company, you expect to sell out your front row at 40 or 50 bucks, maybe 60. Maybe you do a meet and greet. But is that person going to get you a meet and greet? I know when we did Pentagon in Phoenix, they sold out the meet and greet at 50 bucks a piece. They get a cut. Right. We get a cut. We offset some money. Jushin Liger. Fucking for sure. Matt Hardy, for sure.
Yep.
But other guys who had small cups of coffee who are really good wrestlers, perfect example. Love TJP. But if he was asking for fucking $4,000 because he was on WWE for a little bit, we could never use the guy.
Right.
At the end of the day, people go over the show and be like, holy shit. I go back to Diversion. Okay, we did a two-night show. Nobody will say that there was a better match than TJP versus Matt Vandegrift. But it wasn't like, oh my God, 150 more people for our return show after 2 years. They weren't like, oh, we're not going. Oh, TJP's on the show. We're going. No, he was the added bonus, but he was affordable enough to make it work, and that gave Matt Vandegrift a chance to have a great fucking match, which it was.
Right.
Who knows? Guarantee you Matt sent that to New Japan, who TJ works for, and hey, yeah, that's good stuff. You hung with one of our guys who's a main player in Japan. Maybe that helped him get a job. But sure. He became affordable enough. You see guys, people ask, you know, some people I don't know the rate. You know, Elias wasn't crazy priced. But, yeah. And Mustafa Ali, God bless him, doing fantastic. But he was out of the range that we could afford.
Right.
You know, and if you pay him, great. You know, and there's some people, hey, he's doing in TNA, he's doing great. You know, Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona is going to be expensive. But Matt Cardona has a proven independent wrestling track record for a lot of other companies that if he appears, there's a good chance that people are going to come. I never saw a line bigger than the one from Matt Cardona at Silver Nugget.
Yeah.
Everybody had a line. His line went through people's lines.
Yeah.
To the fucking back of the building. And it was like, holy shit. And I talked to him, super cordial. Yeah. I'm like, hey, bro, blah, 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 Joe, we've run the shows here. You know, I had heard what his number was. He's like, yeah, 100%. Don't go up, don't go down. That's what you get. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. You know, I know how much he talks about wanting to go back to WWE, but it was the Matt Hardy thing. If you multiply what Matt made on top of his merch store, on top of merch he sold, Matt Hardy was making let's say 16, another two Sundays. You're talking just from wrestling on a show, 20, 25 grand a month maybe. Well, that's probably as good as his WWE contract. Let's say his WWE contract was four. I make three. But in WWE, he had to pay for all his hotels. He had to pay for his cars. Guess what? He gets flown in everywhere he goes. He gets driven everywhere he goes. He gets taken out to dinner half the time. So now that's also not counting his merch store that he told me did very well, which I could imagine. So as an independent wrestler, it's like the same reason a lot of the women didn't give up their OnlyFans and Mandy Rose chose to say, you know what? I'm good doing the OnlyFans and personal appearances. I'll make more money in a month than you're going to pay me for a year.
Right.
Love wrestling, but you know what? I don't got to do fucking very much. I can earn.
Yeah, and that's what Cora Jade's saying right now. Is, you
know, and the difference is 30 years ago, those avenues were not available.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I saw a thing. It was the fucking horseman doing a thing. And you got J.J. Dillon on the walker. You got Arn Anderson, you know. And these guys are hustling to make a living where, man, you would think they would be comfortable in retirement that they didn't have to go out and do it. Because right. I'm looking at them. And I'm looking and I'm thinking to myself, I can't really believe that these guys are so fucking excited to go to another city this weekend to hustle for a payday. Sorry. Yeah. You know, but because, and again, a lot of it is their own fault. If you pissed away your money, you pissed away your money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, man, it's just a struggle, you would think, for some of these guys to get on planes and do things. But that's how they got to earn their living now because, and again, big money back then is a way different story. You know, I guarantee you, if you're working WCW, NWA in the old days, and you're making $200,000 a year, you're probably a top guy.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
So when you're now retired in 1996, what money are you making from 30 years later? Right. Tully Blanchard had, you know, he was a preacher or whatever. He was away from the wrestling world. You know, you think Arn, you know, he was an agent. You think he made pretty good money for a long time. Worked in AEW recently. Yep. You know, even the Ric Flairs of the world. You know, he told you. He burned through every fucking dollar. He burned the fucking, the $100,000 he was going to make after. He fucking burned already.
Right. Well, he owes that to his ninth ex-wife coming up.
If they get it, they get it. Kind of like people, oh, I got these medical bills. Yeah, and if you don't pay them, what are they going to do? No medical bills ever took in somebody's house. Here's a word, don't fucking pay if you can't afford it. They'll eat it. So, I had an ambulance, so my wife had to take an ambulance one time when she wasn't feeling good, whatever. I literally sent them the payment for the month, but since I didn't finalize the agreement, they didn't do anything. They just sent it to collection.
Yeah.
Over like $800. And it was like, I just sent you like $200 a month for the last 2 months. It was $1,200. I owe you $8. You didn't even like want the money. So you sold it off for $100 or whatever. And guess what? It was 5 years ago. It's not even on anybody's credit anymore. Yep. It was like, I was going to pay you. You made no effort to want to work out the deal. It was like I was just sending you the money.
Oh man, Joe, you just gave people so many good sound bites out of context of you going, I don't want to pay you.
There you go.
Joe's legacy now in the business. And that DeFalco, I mean, I've got him on.
I don't want to pay you.
Why did Matt Hardy never come back, Joe? I don't want to pay you.
Yeah. He still owes us. Remember that. Never paid me back for that $600 flight.
He still owes you for that flight, huh?
Yeah, sure. I tried to hit him up. Suppose he told my kid, you know, he's got all these kids now going to the West Coast. It's 2 days. Yeah? So it's only good for 2 days when it's RussellCon? What about the people who hooked you up, took care of you in your time of need when you weren't getting all those bookings and you only had six championship belts?
Save the ticket for Maxwell, man. When Max is ready to start wrestling in about
Disco Inferno's retirement match.
Yeah. Yeah, about 5 years off or so now. You know, yeah. He's got to be close to 18 in about 5 years or so, you know?
Yeah. All right. He don't need to be 18. Bodhi was wrestling on our shows at 15.
Survival of the Fittest, again, is coming Sunday, August 17th at 5 p.m. from the Silverton. And final words, Joe, this week before...
Tickets are up there at Silverton, I believe, today. Or yesterday, they finally got up. Hopefully, the marquee's up. We got that to them a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, moving forward, you know, we need a lot of support. You know, they raised the rate on us again. So, you know.
Yeah.
And we're trying not to. And we didn't raise the prices a dollar. So they're the same prices as always. You know, 25 for GA, 45 for front row.
Shout out to Scoop for doing some photography for that poster.
Yeah, it must have been that Justin guy. He must have been the photographer for that. Justin Cotterill. Shout out to him for a phenomenal job.
Yeah, that fan Scoop who keeps, you know, saying that he does stuff for you.
Yeah, he just like walks around, starts taking pictures. It's fucking crazy. I think he's a plant for the faction. I think that's how he got his start.
Well, there we have it. Until next week, everybody. Again,
buy a ticket.
Exactly.
You know, big matches. You don't want to miss it. Big return. Big return. So there you go. So you know it's a return of somebody.
Right. And I'm still holding out. If I put my money on Alcatraz, not a good bet, is it?
Why couldn't he be the mystery partner? Hey, I've gotten word. I know where Tyshawn Prince works.
I still want to see this come together for the Legends Battle Royal. I think you've got to do
it. You know, it works in the senior tour in golf. Yeah. I think I should put together a senior tour.
Yes. For wrestling. Yeah. If you could put together an all women show, I think you should put together a senior, you know.
The problem is I remember one of them back in the day. If you remember that one, it was really, really, really bad. Yes. I couldn't even tell you who was in it. I just remember there was a lot of people in it. And I just remember it not being very good.
No.
I know it was in New Orleans. It was on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was everyone at that time who were probably in their 50s at that point.
Crazy. You know, 55 is the new 30.
Right. Which is just mind-blowing that, like you were just talking about, the guys like Arn and stuff, like, you know, obviously Arn can't wrestle, but, you know, these guys who are now between 70 and 80 were the guys at that senior show. It's like, wow, man. And now, you know, look, you know, Sean Ricker would have been in your senior show.
Yeah. Damian Priest is a guy in his 40s who basically was, I think, 38 when WWE signed him. Mid-card guy in Ring of Honor. If he was lucky, he was a mid-card guy in Ring of Honor. And now it's 5 years later, and he's a main eventer. That guy was never a main eventer on the indies.
No.
And he's a WWE champion. And right. it, it And because he put in the work.
Yep. Yep. And, you know,
training one day a week just because you got on a future shock isn't really going to help your progress. I know there's going to be a lot of mad people because there's going to be, oh, I'm on Future Shock. Why aren't I on that match?
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking with my trainers, so you can blame Kenny's and Remy's and Cody's. I know everybody wants to blame me for everything. But the reason you get on Future Shock is because of the recommendations of the trainers.
Right.
So when you're not there Thursdays because Cody's there, he can never put in a good word for you. But there's some who generally barely see only when Cody's there on Thursday. Then there's certain ones you only see on Friday when Remy's there. And then you see him, hey, I'm only there when Kenny's there. Oh, I'm only there when Sin's there. It's like everybody has a different style. Everybody can teach you stuff. And the more you're there, the better you're going to become. So right. When you pigeonhole yourself, that's like trying to tell somebody, hey, I'm a heel. Okay, well, I needed a baby face. Go fuck yourself. I'm not going to use you. And then when I need a heel, it's like, well, I'll use that guy who I use as the baby face because he stepped up and he did what was needed of him. You're only doing what you want to do. Well, I don't need that guy. You know, it's part of the messages I send out. I'm like, hey, when you don't have a lot of experience, you're not getting on my show. Because on Future Shock, it's for my young students. It's not for young wrestlers. It's for guys like, when look at Jordan Cruz, where he's at now with these other companies. Well, he was a mainstay guy in a lot of companies, not the big star yet, but we used him on Future Shock. We used Class on Future Shock because we heard good things about these guys, but that was where they were going to get their opportunity. So when you hit me up and you have four matches, you're not getting on my show. And when you live in Arizona, like I got an email couple days ago, kid out of Tucson. I'm like, hey, no offense, appreciate the interest, but we have our own students and you've been doing this for a year. You're really not going to be at the level of what we're looking for. Hey, I totally understand. If you can get me your dates, I'd like to come up and help. Well, that's the first step, because when Jaden Monroe came in, because Class and Reno told him to, as he progressed, of course, they're going to be like, hey, this guy's pretty good. You got a spot. You know, it might be good for you. Jaden Monroe didn't get on the show the first time. Zamaya didn't get on the show the fourth time of her coming up.
Yeah.
I had to keep hearing from those guys like, hey, you should want to use her. Now she's one of my top five women wrestlers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Class is one of my top guys. Devin Reno's become a main guy. Kevin Koa had the conversation the other day. There's a guy who came in with that crew who we don't use anymore. And even with his own crew, a lot of people feel that he feels he's above.
Sure.
And likes to. Everybody, you could say, is the word passionate. Everybody can say, hey, you know what? I think when you're the young lion kid, your job isn't to keep fucking interrupting and trying to get your shit, what you think works. You know what? You could be right. But if you're working with three people and they feel this is good, shut the fuck up.
Right.
But the reputation has become that when you go to there, the PCW, you ain't getting a word in edgewise to what he wants done. But when he comes here, he feels he has every right to. It's like, well, it goes both ways.
Right.
And Koa came when he first came with that crew. And I didn't use him. And I didn't use him. And I didn't use him. And, hey, I needed a spot and I used him. Eh, he's okay. Then we were going to do the MK Army. And Duke Lawrence was supposed to be initially in there. And we used a kid out of California, AJ Mana. And it was going to be Koa and AJ Mana. They're both kind of Hawaiian. They got that look, whatever. I thought they would work. I'm like, I'm going to use, I was going to use Duke at the time. And then when Duke became unavailable, it's like he wasn't around. He wasn't doing stuff. It was like, you know what? This motherfucker's always here. And then we gave him the opportunity, and he kind of gelled. But if you go watch him, when I first used him and he was iffy. Look at him now. He's a fucking pro. Like, he has always been the guy, like, hey, I really need you for the show, but it's not to have a match. It's to interject into certain things. Oh, I'm there. I'm there. It wasn't, what about me? What am I getting? What am I doing? I need more money. And he got himself a spot, and he kept it because he was willing to be that guy, to do what is ever necessary. And now, because now he put himself in a good spot, he's been working with really good people. He's improved tenfold. And now him and Hero were as good as you can expect. Yeah. And it was a good match. And it led to what we needed to do. But to think 2 years ago, I would have thought Koa wouldn't even be around. When I saw him the first couple times, because there's a bunch of guys in there that have come around and they never got what they really wanted, or they thought they would get more, that I didn't feel they were good enough, obviously. Because if I thought they were good enough, I would have used them.
Right.
I would have made sure that I used them. And I didn't. So they stopped coming. Okay. Well, I don't need to worry about you. Because there's times, there's spots that come available, who missed the show, who got hurt, whatever. And they get, it's plug and play. Few days before the show, it turned out I was short. So it's like, hey, Jaden Monroe, RJ Wild, you guys coming up? Because, you know, he's dating Zamaya. She's going to be there. Oh, no, she wasn't going to be there. So now I wasn't positive. But usually, you know, because Class and Reno hadn't been around. So Jaden Monroe really wasn't doing anything with them. And the few times we used them was either singles or with RJ. Now they come in and they got matching gear. And they're really, they're taking that tag team. And they wrestled the Mariachis at the PCW show. Mariachis.
Yep.
Now they're in the place of putting them over.
Yeah. To
back when it was like, you know, or when the Suavecitos would put over one of their teams, you know, we were putting them over to those guys. And, you know, it's that hard work. And it's making yourself, as I said, that's how Watson got booked. Come around. Yeah. Watson helped more when he lived in Arizona than he does in Vegas. Just saying.
Right. Yeah. And look where he is now.
There you go. You know.
That's the thing. All right. Well, on that note, we will save the conversation for next time.
Yeah, I got to go check out Video Wells. So.
Yeah, and that's going to look spectacular if you can get it done for the show, man. That will be like a huge upgrade.
I'm envisioning Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle. By the video wall.
Don't give anyone any ideas.
Oh,
by the way,
I hear they're indestructible. I'm just telling you what I've been told.
Dude.
I didn't bring it up. It was brought up to me. Let me just say that.
When you're sitting here complaining about they broke the video wall, they just had to go through it.
If the people who own the video wall tell us it's indestructible, do whatever you want because they want footage of it, who am I to say no?
There you go. All right, everyone. Until next time, we'll see you guys, and happy wrestling.